would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. We're going to chapter 6, and we're reading verses 1 through 3. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 848. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. We read these words from the Word of God. It says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the acts that led to death and of the faith in God, instructions about baptisms and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so." Great words from the author of the book of Hebrews, and look forward to hearing how these words touch our hearts this morning and how they help us. God bless you.
Thank you for that wonderful reminder. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask that you would please open up once again to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. I was raised in an Italian household. Italians have some unique things that they do, some unique ways that they look at things and expressions that they make. For example, in our home, when we appreciated the meal that my mother had cooked, we didn't say, "Well, thank you, Mom, that was good." We did this: "Ah, perfection." I don't know if you have ever done that kind of thing in your home or not, but Italians kind of do that. Joanne probably remembers some of that kind of thing. You remember the, right? Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it was not an offensive thing, but it was a demonstration of real appreciation. And as much as we used to do that for my mom, I have to tell you that when it comes to my wife's chili, it is, ah, perfection. Because my wife makes the best chili in the world, bar none. I tried to eat Andrew Troyer's chili one time. I took one bite, my stomach still burns. Not that it was bad flavored. It was just hot. It should be?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was. But, folks, God is calling us to a life of perfection. As we read this first verse in Hebrews chapter 6, in the King James Version, we read this: "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." The Word of God tells us in several places that we are to be perfect. Now, the modern day translations get it right when they begin to present the idea that perfection is maturity. And to become mature in Christ, or if you will, to grow up in our faith. Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, and as he was writing to the church of Galatia, he said, "Man, I would that I would be able to feed you meat, but I still have to feed you milk because you're not moving on. You're not growing and being what you need to be. You're not maturing." And you know what? We see a lot of that in the modern day church today. We see a lot of believers who have no intention of moving on to perfection. They have no intention of moving on to maturity. but they make everything about themselves. And when that kind of thing happens, there comes dissensions, there comes divisions, there becomes separations, there becomes a hindrance to the church reaching out to Christ and reaching out to the lost. Folks, I'm going to make this as simplistic as I can. The church exists for one reason, and that's to build the kingdom of Christ. That's why the church exists. It doesn't exist to give you power and authority or me. It doesn't exist for any other reason than to win the lost and to disciple people so that they can grow in the faith and become what God wants them to be, so that they can reach out and win the lost and disciple them in the faith so that they can be what God wants them to be, so that they can win the lost and disciple them so that they can be. And you see, that cycle, that circle continues on and on and on. And the writer of the Hebrews, as he or she, I don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. I have my opinion. My opinion doesn't matter. The writer is not identified, but as the writer writes, they go on with this, that therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, or if you will, let us grow up. Let us grow up. It's not about us. It's about Him. Let us grow up, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we shall do if God permits. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When people get serious about their relationship with Jesus Christ, they move beyond the elementary principles. How many here ever went to school? Let me see your hands if you ever went to school. Most. Most here went to school. Now, when you were a junior, that's 11th grade, all right. When you were a junior, did you act like a second grader? I hope not. I hope we get the opportunity to act like a second grader again when we hit about 90 years of age. Then we have earned the right to become childlike all over again. I should have said 100 because I don't think there's anyone here 100. For those of you over 90, you have permission. Act like a second grader if you wish. But when you've got a young person who hits the 11th grade and acts like a second grader, there's something wrong. All right? There is something wrong. When you have a believer who walks with the Lord for a while, and then they still think it's all about them, there's something wrong. And that's what the writer of the Hebrews is saying. He's saying, look, we should be able to move beyond these simple things and press on to the deeper things of God, and to be made perfect in the image of God, to be mature, and that's what the word maturity means. To grow up in our faith and to become the reflection of the image of God in this world. But I'll tell you what, when we're going to act like little kids, we're not moving on to maturity. When it's got to be our way or the highway, we're not acting like mature individuals. And God calls us to grow in our faith and to realize that it's all about Him and it's not about us. I want to share with you this morning what this perfection that God is calling us to, what this maturity that God is calling us to, what it is not. And then we're going to look at what it is. All right? And then who is it available to? So let's first of all look at what it is not. Number one, it is not Adamic perfection. Let me explain that. When Adam was created, he was created in absolute perfection. He understood amazing things. I want you to stop and think about Adam a minute. When Adam was created, he had an incredible mind. Do you know who named all the animals? It wasn't the local university. All right? But it was the one who had been created in the image of God. The one who was created absolutely perfect. The one who God breathed the breath of life into. Adam was created perfect. When sin came in the picture, Adam fell. And that absolute perfection would never be experienced by man again until the person of Jesus Christ. Once again, in the person of Christ, there was perfection. Everything was perfect. The difference between Adam and Jesus, Adam chose sin. Jesus chose sacrifice. Adam chose disobedience. Jesus chose obedience to the Father. Adam chose self. Jesus chose selflessness. You see the difference? And because of the perfect one in Jesus Christ, we have been granted the opportunity to have eternal life. Had Jesus failed, we would be without hope. But Jesus succeeded. And because of his success, he offers to us an opportunity to grow up and to become mature in our faith. And again, the opportunity to realize it's not about us, it's about him. He makes it all possible. Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, talked about the fact that they were immature. They were yet carnal. And they were biting and devouring one another. Paul was not complimenting the church at Corinth. And in fact, when you look at everything that was going on in that church was an absolute wreck. And it was an absolute wreck because people chose to not grow up. Stop and think about what was going on. I mean, there was immorality within the body, and nobody paid any attention. Nobody even cared. There was division over preachers. Nobody paid any attention. No one even cared. There was misuse of spiritual gifts. No one paid attention. No one even cared. There were divisions in the body. No one paid attention. No one even cared. Do you know why there were divisions? Because they weren't growing up. They weren't becoming what God wanted them to be. Absolute perfection is not going to be attainable here, but the perfection of a perfect heart towards God is possible. And it's vital that we seek for that. And so even if our perfection is not the same as Adam had, our perfection can be everything that God desires it to be. Our perfection, secondly, is not angelic. We're not perfect as the angels are perfect. Why? Because we weren't created to be angels. We were created, believe it or not, a little lower than the angels, but with the potential, when we get to God's kingdom, to be higher than the angels. Because we were created with something the angels weren't, and that is the ability to love. Angels are created with the ability to serve, but love is not the essence of who they are. But when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and when we sell ourselves out to Him totally and completely, that's what maturity is. It's perfect love. Nothing more. Nothing less. And when we have perfect love, folks, we place others above ourselves. Number three, our perfection is not that perfection that is divine. In other words, we're perfect for what God creates us for, and we can move on into a deeper and a deeper and a deeper love for Him and a deeper grace, if you will. But we're not going to be God, and we're not going to be gods like the Mormons claim. We're not going to have that type of absolute perfection this side of glory. Now, there's going to come a time when we will know, even as we are known, according to John, we will know even as we are known, for we shall see Him as He is. When we enter into the kingdom of God, we'll have perfect knowledge, we'll have perfect everything, for we shall be exactly as He is at that time. But until we get there, the trappings of this life still hang from our bones. And so our perfection is not that yet of Jesus Christ, but it will be at some point. When we move into that deeper relationship, when we move on unto perfection, we need to realize that we are not above temptation. As long as we breathe, there will be temptation that the enemy will try to throw in front of us and get us to succumb to. too many within the body of Christ give into that temptation. And they hold within their hearts bitterness. They hold within their hearts anger. They hold within their hearts division. They hold within their hearts anything that is not godlike. There can be lustfulness. There can be all types of things that people will hold on to and feel like they can justify themselves when God said there's no justification for that at all. It's an interesting thing. When we move on here, notice verses 4, 5, and 6. It says, "For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame." Selfishness, self-centeredness, crucifies Christ all over again. Bitterness, anger, envy, strifes crucify again Jesus Christ. The elevation of self over others crucifies again the Son of God. Submission to Christ, totally and completely, as in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, is the solution. We must make it all about Him and not about us. The fifth thing about this perfection is that it is not infallible. You know, the Catholic Church has a doctrine that they place on the Pope that declares that the Pope is infallible. That means the Pope can never be wrong. And whatever he declares is absolute truth from the mouth of God right to the Pope, who then, whatever he states, is absolute law. He can't be wrong. The infallibility of the Pope. Folks, I'm going to tell you now, while we walk in this shell, while we walk in the fleshliness of how we are created in this world that is filled with sin, there's never the possibility of infallibility. There will be times when we fail. We may fail in our judgments. We may fail in our actions. But that's not the purpose of perfection. Perfection is not to remove our humanity. And so, we need to keep that in mind. Number 6 in this regard is perfection does not make us above possible apostasy. It is possible to be at a point in our lives where we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then to fall away. That is possible. It is possible for us to compromise God's teachings and God's word to the point where we just make a mess of life. And that apostasy, folks, that is the age that the modern day church is in right now. And that's why you're seeing the church no longer stand for the issues that it needs to stand for. That's why you see churches that really don't care about the issue of abortion. That's why you see churches that really don't care about the sanctity of marriage. That's why you see churches in this day and age that don't care about the issue of homosexuality. And in fact, they will even welcome them to become pastors, to become teachers, to lead their young people, because they have apostatized themselves to the point that truth doesn't matter. When you go to the book of Revelation and you read about the great whore in the book of Revelation, it's exactly what you're reading about. The church that has compromised to the point that they no longer stand for God's unalterable truth. Being perfected, being mature, does not make it impossible for us to become apostate. We must guard the treasure that God has given us in the person of His Holy Spirit. We must guard that treasure and that relationship with everything that we are and everything that we have in a constant battle. Move on to maturity. The seventh thing that this perfection, this moving on to maturity, is not moving us beyond progress. In other words, it doesn't mean once we have reached that point in our lives where we dedicate ourselves wholly, completely, totally to God, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and God responds with His sanctifying grace, with the filling of the Holy Spirit, with the purifying of our hearts, with making us holy, if you will, that doesn't mean that we have arrived and we suddenly know it all. It simply opens us up to deeper knowledge of the Word of God and a deeper understanding of the Word of God. Now, I'm going to shock you with this, because as wonderful as you are, there's not a one of you here who knows it all, including me. You don't know it all. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many years you've walked with the Lord. You don't know it all. You may think you do. And if that's your thought life, then it's time to press on to maturity and to grow up. Now, what is then this maturity that we are to press on to, this perfection? Number one, it is perfect love. That's attainable. Otherwise, Jesus was just dangling a carrot in front of us that He knew was unattainable. And I don't believe that Jesus does that. When He gave the command to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, when He was making that command, He was either a horrible monster telling us to do something that wasn't possible and He wasn't willing to make possible, or He was saying, this is normal Christianity. To love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. Placing God always in first place. Placing others next. Placing ourselves last. And you know what? When we are childish, When we're not mature, we get that all messed up. And we place ourselves in the wrong position. I remember we had two little girls. And I'm sure your children never did this. But we had two little girls. And every time there was a disagreement between those two little girls, they were always right. I mean, if you talked to Emily and you listened to Emily's side of the story, she was always right. If you talked to Lynette and listened to Lynette's side of the story, Lynette was always right. I'm sure your kids weren't like that. I'm sure that in your perfect households, whenever there was a disagreement between your children, they were always coming to you and saying, Mom and Dad, they're right. I'm the one that's wrong. I'm sure your kids were like that. In our household, it wasn't that way. All right? But you see, as little children, what they do, they always put themselves ahead of the other. And so they would fight and always try to be the one who got their way. As believers, it's not how it should be. We shouldn't be children. We are to grow up into adulthood and recognize that God calls us to perfect love. He is the only one who can give us that perfect love by His cleansing, sanctifying grace that makes us holy and pure before God. And I'll tell you what, it's not about spiritual gifts. It's not about who yells the loudest and runs the fastest and the farthest. It's about the love of Christ being shed abroad in our hearts in His purity and in His grace. It's about us setting ourselves aside to honor God and our fellow man. It is perfect love. It is also perfect consecration. Perfect consecration is again that Romans 12, 1 and 2 principle. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you might prove what is the perfect and the acceptable will of God. Your responsibility is to consecrate yourself perfectly, completely, wholly, wholly, nothing held back, so that God can make you holy, holy, by filling you to overflowing with the essence of who He is in the person of the Holy Spirit. Purity. God is pure. The next thing it is that it is a perfect resignation. The resignation doesn't mean I'm going to resign and walk and going to find someplace else to go and worship. That's not perfect resignation. Perfect resignation is I'm going to resign myself to the idea that God is smarter than I am, that God is holier than I am, that God knows a lot more, that His love and His capacities for me are far greater than what I have for myself, that God's word is absolutely accurate and right, and I need to abide by that, even the parts I don't like. But I'm going to follow God's word, because it's His communication for our good and for His glory and not ours? Can you resign yourself to the idea that God knows more than what you do? And then the next thing that it is that it produces in us holy living. Makes us so that we are the perfect reflection of God in this world. You know, this world hates the church because believers have refused to be holy. Because believers devour one another. Because believers refuse to submit to the perfect will of God. And so the world looks at us, and this is their response. If that's Christianity, I don't want it. And far too often, they are justified in their thoughts because the church refuses to grow up. Its attainment, this perfection, this maturity is possible to anyone. God nowhere in His Word says only the Pope can be holy. In fact, in His Word, He tells us that everyone needs to be holy. In fact, He commands it. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am a holy God. Jesus put it in this term, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart, that's holiness, folks. Has nothing to do with anything other than full surrender to God. God's response is a pure heart. It is an instantaneous blessing that opens up the door for greater, deeper growth in Jesus Christ. Do you want to be the most spiritual person that you can possibly be? Then you need to surrender yourself. Get out of this mindset that it's all about me and recognize that it's all about Him. Submit yourself totally, completely, just the way you are. Nothing held back. And let God have His perfect way in your life. Then you can grow up and become mature. Let's stand.